Another Universe by Skywalker's Amidala. Read by X-Men Hater. Recorded for ITPE 2016 for Bessie Boo. Summary. Perhaps in another universe, the three of them would have been forever ripped from each other and from their children. But in this universe, there was peace. And in this universe, the Amidala Skywalker Kenobi family lived happily ever after. The war had been going on for about a year and a half when it happened. Anakin and Obi-Wan were alone in Obi-Wan's room on the starship, heads bent together as they looked over a map and argued strategy. Anakin jabbed his finger at the map.
"But if we cut through here..."
"No, Anakin, I told you, it's too risky," said Obi-Wan in exasperation. "It would be much safer to go around."
"And much slower,"
Anakin replied heatedly. He turned away from the table to scowl at his former master.
"My way, we'd have the element of surprise."
Obi-Wan also stepped away and faced Anakin squarely.
"No, we will not be doing it your way. We will be doing it my way."
Anakin moved closer, bending down slightly until he and Obi-Wan were almost nose to nose.
"Why?"
"Because I am the master," said Obi-Wan impatiently.
"And you are... your Padawan? You can't use that excuse anymore, Master. I'm a knight now, remember?"
Obi-Wan scowled at him.
"That may be, but I am still far more experienced than you, and..."
He was cut abruptly off as Anakin crushed his lips against Obi-Wan's. Obi-Wan made a surprised noise, but didn't move away. His beard tickled Anakin in an odd, but by no means unpleasant, way, and Anakin couldn't help thinking how different it was from kissing Padme.
"Padme..."
Anakin jerked backwards as if he'd been burned and stared at Obi-Wan in abject horror. Surprisingly, Obi-Wan didn't appear to be angry, only puzzled.
"Anakin?" Sorry,
Anakin mumbled, and he quickly turned away. It was only his pride that kept him from sprinting from the room, though that ended up being a lost cause as he instead walked so hurriedly that he tripped over his own feet. Once he had arrived back in his own room, Anakin sat down on the bed and put his head in his hands. What had he been thinking? Had he gone mad? How could he have betrayed Padme like that? How was he ever going to look Obi-Wan in the eye again? Anakin groaned and burrowed under the blankets, wishing he could hide there for the rest of his life. Unfortunately, that wasn't possible, and he was forced to see Obi-Wan again when their ship landed only an hour later. But Obi-Wan made no mention of the kiss and acted like everything was perfectly normal, and Anakin gratefully followed his lead. Anakin only had to live with his embarrassment for another 2 weeks before they landed back on Coruscant. Obi-Wan would be meeting with the other Jedi Masters for a few days, and Anakin had the time off. He left for Padme's apartment immediately, and his shame rose again as she kissed him in greeting. He soon forgot all about Obi-Wan as Padme dragged him into the bedroom and began clawing impatiently at his belt, but the thoughts returned when he woke the next morning. He got up and walked out onto the veranda, pacing up and down a few times before flopping onto the sofa. He would have to tell her. He wouldn't be able to live with himself if he didn't. But imagining the look on her face, the hurt in her eyes.
"Annie, are you all right? You look upset."
Anakin glanced up and saw that Padme had appeared, still in her nightgown. Rather than answering her, he just sighed and she came to sit beside him.
"Tell me what's wrong."
He gnawed on his bottom lip, trying to think of how to begin.
"I love you," he said finally. "More than anything in the entire galaxy."
She smiled and took his hand.
"I know. I love you too."
"But I did something bad,"
he continued, gazing down at their entwined hands. He couldn't look her in the eye.
We were just back from a mission, and I wasn't thinking clearly.
"And?"
she prodded, sounding concerned.
And I kissed Obi-Wan," Anakin said miserably. "I don't know why I did it. It just kind of happened. And I thought of you a second later and pulled away, and I felt so awful, and I've been feeling so guilty this whole time, and I'm really, really sorry, Padme. You have no idea how sorry. I never meant to hurt you, never."
Finally, he dared to chance a glance at her and saw, to his bewilderment, that there was a small smile on her face.
"It's all right, Anakin. I'm not upset or angry or anything."
He stared at her in confusion.
"You aren't?"
She squeezed his hand and chuckled.
"Anakin, You've been in love with Obi-Wan since, well, at least since you and I were reunited 2 years ago.
Wait, what?
Him in love with Obi-Wan? What was she talking about? The very idea was absurd. Well, you were always acting out and disobeying orders, and it soon became pretty obvious to me that you were just doing it because you were desperate for his attention.
What?
Anakin felt like she'd clubbed him over the head with a blaster.
That's ridiculous.
I'm just telling you what I observed, said Padme with a shrug. Maybe you weren't aware of it at the time, and maybe you're still not aware of it now, but you're in love with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Anakin simply gaped at her. But I love you, Padme.
I know, she assured him. But love isn't quantified. It's not like you're only allowed to be in love with one person at a time. Your heart doesn't replace one love with another. It just grows to make room for them both. I knew when I married you that I could never be the only person with the claim on your heart. I've known this whole time that you love Obi-Wan too, and I've never minded. So if you kissed him, it's all right with me.
Anakin was utterly speechless. He'd been prepared for her to cry, or yell at him, or kick him out of her apartment. He never would have expected this. But I love Obi-Wan as a mentor, as a friend. I'm not in love with him.
Padme smiled. Then why did you kiss him?
I told you, it just happened.
Okay, then how did you feel when it was happening, before you thought of me? Did you like it?
The whole thing had been such a blur, and Anakin had been trying so hard to put it out of his mind, but now he actually considered her question and attempted to return to the moment. The feel of Obi-Wan's firm lips, his beard brushing against Anakin's skin, their bodies so close together. I don't know. I think maybe I did, he realized with no small amount of shock.
Think back, Padme continued. All those years you've spent together. Is it possible that there was even a moment where you felt attracted to him, even if you didn't realize it?
Anakin racked his brain. He'd always found Obi-Wan good-looking, but he'd thought it was more of an objective observation than a sign of attraction. He mentally went back to his time as a Padawan before he'd been reunited with Padme and... Oh. Yes, now he definitely remembered nights in the temple after everyone else was asleep, when he'd had some rather... inappropriate thoughts about his master, and his cheeks flamed at the recollection. But surely that had just been a side effect of puberty? That's what Anakin had chalked it up to at the time, and apparently he'd done a very good job of convincing himself, since he'd completely forgotten about it until this moment, though he supposed it could have been his intense shame that had caused him to repress those particular memories. Maybe, he admitted at last, face still hot. Then he turned to frown at Padme. So you're saying this whole time you thought I had feelings for Obi-Wan, and it didn't bother you in the slightest?
Yes. I love you, and Obi-Wan's my good friend, so I never saw any reason to resent how you felt about him.
And you never thought to tell me about my own feelings, since I didn't know them myself?
I didn't know for sure that you didn't know them. I just strongly suspected that you didn't, said Padme impishly.
Anakin rolled his eyes. Well, thanks for that. To think I could have had this emotional crisis over with years ago.
She planted a kiss on his cheek. I'll do my best to help you through it while you're here. And then after that, you'll have plenty of time with Obi-Wan to figure out if you really do feel differently about him. I mean, I suppose I could be wrong, she added, though judging by her tone, she very much doubted that she was.
Anakin and Padme were inseparable for the next few days. Their time together was limited because of the war, and every moment they had was precious. But they didn't talk again about Obi-Wan much until the last day. I'm nervous, Anakin admitted to Padme as they lay in bed that morning, both too lazy and too content in each other's arms to get up. I don't know what it'll be like to see Obi-Wan again now that I might possibly be in love with him.
Just don't think about it too much, she said soothingly, tracing circles on his arm. Let things between you settle into the way they've always been, and don't worry about how your feelings for him might have changed.
Anakin kissed her nose lightly. And you're sure you're okay with all of this?
Yes, she said emphatically. I've always been at peace with the idea of you loving Obi-Wan. You're the one who has to come to terms with it now.
You're sure?
Yes. Would you like me to spell it out for you? Anakin Skywalker, my husband whom I love very much and who I know loves me, I am completely fine with you also being in love with Obi-Wan Kenobi. I give you my express permission to kiss him or do anything else you want to with him. In fact, you and I get to spend so little time together that it really would be quite a shame if you didn't get to fuck anyone else in the meantime.
Padme, Anakin gasped, face burning, and she burst out laughing.
I'm actually serious about that, though, she said a moment later, once she'd calmed down. If you ever want to go beyond kissing with him, go right ahead.
Anakin snorted. I'd say the chances of that happening are slim to none. Jedi code, remember? Obi-Wan's not as keen to break it as I am, you know.
A few months later, however, Anakin realized how wrong he'd been on that score. He had fully acknowledged by then that he was in love with Obi-Wan. In fact, he was only amazed that he hadn't realized it sooner, not to mention grateful to Padme for pointing it out so bluntly. He and Obi-Wan continued on pretending that the kiss hadn't happened, but Anakin couldn't help sensing that something was different between them. Maybe it was only due to the changes that his own feelings had undergone, but it still agitated him. Apart from Padme, Obi-Wan had been the closest person to him in the galaxy for over a decade, and the idea that things weren't right between them didn't sit well with Anakin. Eventually, he decided enough was enough, and one evening he strode purposefully over to Obi-Wan's room on the ship. Obi-Wan opened the door when he knocked.
Anakin, is everything all right? I need to talk to you, said Anakin, and Obi-Wan stepped aside to let him in, closing the door behind him. Is something troubling you? Yes.
Anakin shifted his weight nervously.
Surely telling his old master he was in love with him couldn't be harder than telling his wife he'd kissed someone else. And yet, he couldn't do it.
Obi-Wan was looking expectantly at him, and all Anakin could do was stare back at him like an idiot. And then Anakin decided to fully abandon words, and he reached out to grab the front of Obi-Wan's tunic, pulled him in close, and kissed him for the second time. The kiss was longer than the other had been, and Anakin was more attuned to the accompanying sensations. Obi-Wan grabbed Anakin's hips as if by instinct, and Anakin snaked one arm around his former master's neck and twined the other in his hair. They were pressed tightly together, no space left between them, and Anakin could feel Obi-Wan's heart pounding in time with his own. After what felt like an eternity, Obi-Wan drew back and stared at him.
What? Anakin?
Anakin swallowed.
I couldn't tell you how I felt, so I figured I'd show you instead.
Obi-Wan's expression was inscrutable.
The code? I don't care about the code, Anakin burst out. I love you, Master, and damn the code if it forbids that.
That certainly got a reaction. Obi-Wan inhaled sharply and looked at Anakin in utter shock and amazement. Then he took another, slower breath as if to calm himself and said,
Obi-Wan.
Anakin gave him a confused look.
What?
Obi-Wan returned his gaze steadily.
You called me Master, but you're not my Padawan anymore, Anakin, and you haven't been for a while. I'm just Obi-Wan to you now.
Obi-Wan, Anakin repeated, and suddenly Obi-Wan's lips were crashing down on his again. They kissed for a while, all tongues and teeth, before Anakin pulled away to kiss Obi-Wan's neck. He experimentally nipped the sensitive skin with his teeth and was pleased by the gasp Obi-Wan let out. Anakin continued his ministrations a while longer before returning to Obi-Wan's already swollen lips. Obi-Wan ground against him, and it was Anakin's turn to gasp as he felt Obi-Wan's hard length against his own through several layers of clothing. He did it again, and Anakin let out a small moan, and his hand scrabbled at Obi-Wan's tunic. He managed to get it off after a minute, then reached to pull off the rest of his clothing until Obi-Wan was naked before him. Anakin's eyes raked shamelessly over his former master's body, taking in all the muscles and scars from decades of being a Jedi. His gaze was drawn to Obi-Wan's cock, which looked as hard as Anakin's felt, and Anakin dropped to his knees in front of him. Placing his hands on Obi-Wan's hips to anchor himself, he moved to take the tip in his mouth. Obi-Wan groaned and grabbed Anakin's hair as Anakin slowly moved his mouth up and down his length. Anakin didn't entirely know what he was doing, but he tried to call up memories of all the times Padme had done this to him, and soon he was licking and sucking with some degree of confidence. Judging by Obi-Wan's gasps and the pre-cum that was beginning to leak into Anakin's mouth, his efforts were successful. Anakin had always wondered why Padme liked sucking him off, as surely there was no pleasure in it for her. But when he looked up and saw Obi-Wan, flushed, sweaty, panting, eyes closed in ecstasy,
He felt a rush of arousal, erection straining against his trousers, and he understood. Then Obi-Wan began yanking Anakin's hair so insistently that Anakin reluctantly drew back.
"Not yet," Obi-Wan got out. "Come here."
Anakin obligingly stood, and Obi-Wan proceeded to strip him of his clothes. He pushed Anakin down onto the bed and knelt over him, kissing him fiercely. Anakin responded enthusiastically, but he broke off with a sharp gasp as he felt Obi-Wan's finger teasing his hole. Obi-Wan looked at him, wordlessly asking permission to continue, and Anakin nodded. He whined as Obi-Wan licked his fingers and gently slid one inside him.
"Obi-Wan," he gasped, body alight with sensation.
"Fuck." Obi-Wan resumed kissing Anakin as he added another finger and moved them around, loosening him. Eventually, he removed them and looked questioningly at Anakin again.
"Fuck me," Anakin breathed desperately. "Obi-Wan, please."
He grabbed Anakin's hips and positioned himself at his entrance, then slowly slid inside. Anakin let out a positively filthy moan as he felt Obi-Wan enter, filling him. This was utterly like anything he'd ever experienced before with Padme. Once they'd both adjusted, Obi-Wan began carefully moving inside him. Anakin dug his fingernails so tightly into Obi-Wan's back that he was sure he'd leave marks.
"Master," he gasped, brain going so dumb that he slipped back into his old habit of address.
Obi-Wan started thrusting harder, establishing a steady rhythm, and Anakin moaned again and again as Obi-Wan fucked him, going deeper each time. Obi-Wan took one of his hands off Anakin's waist, reached for his cock, and began stroking him in time with his thrusts. Anakin felt his climax rapidly building, and a few moments later he let out a strangled cry as his hips jerked off the bed and his cum striped Obi-Wan's hand and stomach. Dimly, he heard Obi-Wan gasp, "Anakin," and felt him come inside him. Anakin lay there in a haze of bliss, his entire body still buzzing with sensation, and after a minute or two, he felt Obi-Wan lie down beside him. Anakin turned in to nestle against his chest, and Obi-Wan wrapped his arms around him. Just as Anakin was starting to doze off, Obi-Wan said softly, "Anakin." "Mm?" Anakin mumbled sleepily, opening his eyes. Obi-Wan was looking at him more openly than he ever had before.
"I love you too," he said, and warmth bloomed in Anakin's stomach, both at the words and the look in his eyes that proved their truth. "I know I shouldn't. I could be expelled from the Order. And I've tried to stop many times, but it's impossible. I love you, Anakin."
"I love you, Obi-Wan," said Anakin again, snuggling in closer. Obi-Wan placed a gentle kiss on top of his head, and Anakin was asleep moments later. Anakin wasn't able to talk to Padme as often as he would like, given how busy the two of them always were, but a few days later they were both free and he contacted her on his holopad that evening. Her image appeared before him, blue and flickering.
"Annie, how are you? I missed you."
"I miss you too," he said, a small lump forming in his throat as it always did when they talked to each other across star systems instead of face to face. "What's been going on in the Senate?"
They chatted for a few minutes before Anakin said, "Actually, there's something I need to tell you about." He paused, looking for the right words, then decided to just come out and say it.
"I fucked Obi-Wan the other night," he said bluntly.
"Well, technically he fucked me, and I told him I loved him and he loves me too." Padme looked at him, startled, but then she smiled.
"That's wonderful, Annie. But I thought you said he wasn't one to break the code."
"Apparently I was wrong."
She chuckled, then gave him an arch look.
"How was it?"
"It was, well, it was amazing," said Anakin honestly, flushing slightly at the memory of Obi-Wan inside of him. Impulsively, he added, "I just wish you could have been there."
Her mouth opened slightly, and even through the holographic projection, he could see that her pupils had dilated.
"So tell me about it," she said in a low voice. "Describe it to me in so much detail that I'll feel like I was there."
Anakin's eyes widened, and he began to talk. As he spoke, Padme pulled up her thin nightgown and slid a hand down between her legs, and Anakin grew so hard watching her finger herself and hearing her gasp that he soon undid his pants and began touching himself as well. They'd done this many times, and while it wasn't as good as physically being together, it still made them feel a little closer when they were light years apart. It should have felt strange, thought Anakin, him and Padme both getting off to the idea of Obi-Wan fucking him, but for some reason it didn't. Padme came with the soft moan of Anakin's name, and Anakin finished too a few minutes later. They continued talking into the night, and when Anakin woke the next morning, his holopad was still projecting an image of a sleeping Padme. He smiled at how peaceful she looked, long hair in a cloud around her face.
I love you, he whispered, and reluctantly turned the holopad off before getting ready for the day's mission.
Anakin and Obi-Wan easily fell into their old roles when others were around, and if they perhaps began showing a bit more concern for each other on the battlefield, no one seemed to notice. But they spent most nights together, fucking with a rough intensity to burn off their adrenaline, or slow and sweet when they were both exhausted after a long day, or sometimes just lying in each other's arms and talking quietly until they fell asleep. Things changed again, however, about a month later, when Anakin was talking with Padme once more.
I've been thinking, she began. I think you should tell Obi-Wan about us.
Anakin bit his lip. He had been thinking the same thing of late, though the idea daunted him.
I don't know, he said. What if he...
Tells the council?
Asked Padme, raising an eyebrow.
I don't think he ever would have done that, and especially not now that you two are, well, sleeping together. He loves you, Anakin. We can trust him. I know we can.
You're right, Anakin admitted. But what if he's upset? He might not be as okay as you are with, I don't know, sharing me.
Padme snorted. If he phrases it that way, then you can tell him you're a person, not an article of clothing.
She looked at him seriously. It's not fair to keep this from him.
I know, said Anakin. I've hated lying to him. I feel so guilty, being with him while he doesn't know I'm married to you. I should have told him the truth before we started anything, and by now I'm afraid that he'll feel betrayed, that he'll hate me.
I suppose that's just a risk he'll have to take, Padme replied sympathetically. He'll have to know eventually, and the longer you wait, the worse he'll feel when it all comes out.
Anakin sighed, then nodded, knowing she was right.
All right, I'll do it today if I have the opportunity.
He did have the opportunity, as it turned out, and that night he sat down on the bed beside Obi-Wan, nervously twisting his hands in his lap.
There's something I need to tell you.
Obi-Wan made no reply, but turned an attentive gaze on him. Flashing back to the day he told Padme he kissed Obi-Wan, Anakin said,
I love you, Obi-Wan. I love you so much, but I haven't been completely honest with you. I'm married. To Padme.
As usual, Obi-Wan's expression remained unreadable, but Anakin could sense a sudden wave of surprise through the Force. He rushed to explain everything, how they had gotten married just at the start of the war, how his feelings towards Obi-Wan had started to change, how Padme had encouraged and supported his and Obi-Wan's new relationship.
I'm so sorry, Obi-Wan, he finished. I should never have hidden this from you. I lied to you and betrayed you, and if you're angry with me, if you want to end things between us, it's no more than I deserve.
Obi-Wan was silent for a long time. Anakin fidgeted, wondering if he should keep talking, but then Obi-Wan finally spoke.
I think I always knew.
Anakin's jaw dropped.
You knew?
Obi-Wan nodded, then looked off into the distance.
You were infatuated with her for years, ever since you met in that junk shop on Tatooine. And when you saw her again, just before the war, I knew you still were. You weren't exactly subtle about it.
He glanced sideways at Anakin with a tiny grin, and Anakin huffed indignantly, though he was cheered by the dig, as it seemed to indicate that maybe Obi-Wan wasn't too upset with him.
After Geonosis, I began to suspect that she returned your feelings and that there was something more serious going on between you. I never went so far as to suppose that you were married, but I was reasonably certain that you were in love with each other.
Anakin mulled over his words.
Not only was Padme good at figuring out his supposedly hidden feelings, but apparently Obi-Wan was too.
Was Anakin really that transparent? Shaking his head, he asked,
If you knew, then... With you and me, why did you... What did you think I felt? The first kiss I marked down as an accident on your part. I've loved you since at least the beginning of the war, if not before that, Obi-Wan admitted, flushing slightly. But I never imagined you'd feel the same way, so I tried to put the kiss out of my mind. But then when we came back from Coruscant, you were different. You were trying to hide it from me, to act like everything was normal. But I could feel the change between us. Anakin gave a half-smile. Obi-Wan had always been so perceptive of his thoughts and emotions through the Force, and Anakin really ought to have known better than to think he wouldn't notice the shift in his feelings. So when I came to your room that night and said I loved you... I believed you, Obi-Wan said. I was confused because I was so sure you loved Padme, but I sensed the truth in your words and I decided to accept them. Anakin nodded, then tentatively asked, So, are you angry? No, said Obi-Wan, and Anakin's heart lifted. I wish you had trusted me with the knowledge of your marriage sooner, but I understand why you felt you couldn't tell me. But I want you to know, I wouldn't have told the Council, or anyone, and I still won't. Even if you'd told me the day after it happened, before our relationship was anything more than Master and Padawan, I would have kept it a secret. He smiled faintly. I always cared for you more than I should have. I valued your happiness over everything, even the code. Anakin hesitantly put his arm around Obi-Wan's shoulders, and Obi-Wan allowed him to pull him close. Thank you, Obi-Wan. I should have trusted you. He paused. What does this mean for us? Do you still want... He didn't bother trying to finish the question, knowing Obi-Wan would understand what he meant. Obi-Wan thought for another long while. Now that I know what it's like to be with you, I don't know if I could go back to the way things used to be, he said slowly. And if Padme really is as accepting of the situation as you say she is, then it would be awfully ungenerous of me not to do the same. Besides, Padme is one of my closest friends, and I care about her very much. I could never begrudge her happiness with you, any more than I could yours with her. Anakin's breath caught in his throat. You really mean that? You still want to be with me? In lieu of a response, Obi-Wan drew him in for a kiss. 1 year later. After bidding a reluctant goodbye to Obi-Wan, Anakin headed into Coruscant's Senate building, trailing slightly behind the crowd. Their elation was palpable. Smiles and laughter abounded for what felt like the first time since the war had begun. Anakin felt it too, the joy and the triumph, but there was also a touch of sadness about him, and more than anything, an overwhelming sense of exhaustion. At that very moment, he sensed a familiar, and only too welcome, presence. Padme was near, her love and comfort and warmth overflowing through the Force and surrounding him. Mumbling an excuse, Anakin gratefully slipped away from the crowd and into the shadows where his wife stood waiting. Without a word, he swept her up in his arms and held her close, taking in the scent that always reminded him of Naboo. "I've missed you, Padme," he murmured into her hair. It had been just over 3 months since they had last seen each other. They finally moved apart, though only slightly, and she reached up to touch his face, lightly tracing his scar as she'd done so many times before. "Is it true?" she breathed. "The war?" "It's over. The Separatists surrendered." At long last, Anakin allowed himself a small smile. The galaxy is finally at peace. Tears shone in Padme's eyes, and she drew his head down and kissed him deeply. They embraced for several more long moments before Padme said, But there's something else, isn't there? You're upset. Tell me what's wrong, Annie. Anakin sighed and looked away, wondering not for the first time if Padme actually was Force-sensitive, since she always seemed to know exactly how he was feeling. Then he turned his head to gaze at her once more and said, Chancellor Palpatine has betrayed us. He was the Sith Lord we've been looking for all these years. Padme's eyes widened in shock as the words hung heavy in the air around them. Saying it out loud made it so much more real and so much worse. The Chancellor had been Anakin's friend and mentor for over a decade, and learning that it had been a lie all along, that Palpatine had been using him for his power and attempting to groom him as his dark side apprentice. It made Anakin sick to his stomach. He could count on one hand the people who saw him as Anakin instead of the Chosen One. He'd always thought Palpatine was one of those people. He'd been wrong. He grimly told Padme the whole story when she began bombarding him with confused questions. Once Anakin had defeated and disarmed Count Dooku, Palpatine had urged him to kill the Sith. Anakin had refused, saying it was against the Jedi Code to kill an unarmed prisoner,
and Palpatine had attempted to make him do it by using the Force to take control of his mind. But he hadn't counted on Anakin resisting the invasion, and his failure meant that Anakin had become aware of his Force powers. Thankfully, Obi-Wan had regained consciousness only a moment later, having previously been knocked out in the fight with Dooku, and he had rushed to Anakin's aid in fighting the newly discovered Sith Lord while sending a call for help through the Force. Other Jedi had arrived as quickly as they were able, and after a strenuous battle, Palpatine was killed and Dooku taken into custody. General Grievous had angrily surrendered once he'd realized he was outnumbered by Jedi and that Palpatine was dead.
"The clones and most of the Jedi are spread throughout the galaxy as we speak, tracking down the rest of the Separatists and bringing them here to stand trial,"
Anakin said, once he'd reached the end of the tale.
"Oh, Anakin," said Padme softly, and she pulled him into a tight embrace once more. As she held him in her arms, Anakin felt some of the tension that had built up over all the years of the war start to slip away. He was with Padme. He was home. And for the first time in their marriage, he wouldn't have to go off to a battlefield and possibly his death. He wouldn't have to leave her again. Yes, Palpatine had betrayed the Republic, had betrayed him, but surely that was a worthy price to pay for peace. As Anakin stood there, content to do nothing more than be in Padme's presence, he began to realize that there was something different about her. He gently reached out in the Force and sensed a strange combination of strong, conflicting emotions in her. Slowly, he extracted himself from her arms and looked intently at her.
"Are you all right? What's going on?"
"Something wonderful has happened," she said after a moment. She returned his gaze, elation and anxiety mixing in her eyes. "Annie, I'm pregnant."
Anakin stared at her, letting out a shocked whoosh of air. Code. Attachments. Forbidden. Child. Father. Padme. Family.
That's wonderful, he breathed, a tentative smile growing on his lips.
"What are we going to do?"
She was openly worried. She must have found out weeks, maybe even months ago, and surely the potential consequences had crossed her mind countless times since then. But the galaxy was at peace. Their child would be born into a new world, a world of hope. At worst, Anakin would be kicked out of the Jedi Order. And would that really be so bad?
"We're not going to worry about anything right now, all right? This is a happy moment," Anakin assured her, feeling his joy overtake his worry until his heart felt almost painfully full. "The happiest moment of my life."
As he cupped Padme's face in his hands and leaned down to kiss her again, all thoughts of war and codes and Sith Lords were forgotten. Perhaps in another universe, Anakin might have seen visions of Padme dying that night. But in this universe, there was peace, and he dreamt of nothing but holding a bundle in his arms, a tiny hand reaching out of the blankets to grab his finger. He woke early, slipped on a loose-fitting tunic, and left the bedroom, moving to stand on the open veranda. The sun was just coming up, but already there was a steady bustle of activity in the city outside. Anakin had always loved watching the people of Coruscant go about their day-to-day business. From his spot on the veranda, he was no longer General Skywalker, Jedi Knight, the Chosen One, the hero with no fear. Instead, he was simply one among millions. Anakin closed his eyes as the sun bathed his skin in a gentle glow. He stood there meditating for several hours before he finally heard Padme's footsteps behind him. He opened his eyes once more and turned to her, smiling as he saw the slight bump just barely visible through her thin nightgown.
"I'm going to leave the Order," he told her calmly, for that had been the subject of his thoughts all morning. Padme didn't ask why. It was something they'd discussed dozens, hundreds of times over the years. She only asked,
"Are you sure?"
Anakin nodded. "Before, I would have felt guilty abandoning the galaxy in its time of need. But now, the war's over. Whether I stay with the Order or leave it, the only people that decision would really affect are you, me, and our child. And I believe it would be better for all three of us for me to leave."
Padme smiled and moved to join him. He put his arm around her and she leaned into him.
"What about Obi-Wan? It will affect him too."
Anakin's shoulders slumped a little. Indeed, Obi-Wan had been the only real reason he could think of for remaining in the Order.
"I know. I'll talk to him before I see the Council."
Padme stood up on tiptoes to kiss his cheek, and they stood there for a few more blissfully content moments before she unwillingly left to get ready for a meeting of the Senate. And Anakin headed to the Jedi Temple to see Obi-Wan. Anakin kissed him as soon as he had shut the door behind them. How are you? What did they say in the medbay?
Just a few scratches, Obi-Wan assured him. Dooku didn't do any serious damage.
Anakin exhaled, relieved, and followed Obi-Wan to sit down.
How's Padme? Obi-Wan asked next.
She's good.
A slow smile spread across his face as he added,
She's pregnant.
Obi-Wan's eyes widened, and he broke out in a smile as well. He pulled Anakin into a tight embrace.
Congratulations. That's wonderful news.
A minute later, Anakin drew back slightly and looked Obi-Wan in the eye.
That's why I'm here, he said seriously. I mean, of course I just wanted to see you, but there's also something specific I have to talk to you about. I'm going to leave the Order.
Obi-Wan stared at him and listened as Anakin explained his reasons.
Keeping two relationships secret is one thing, he finished. But now that there's going to be a baby, too, I just can't see a way for me to be a good father when no one can know I am one.
I understand, said Obi-Wan almost at once, to Anakin's relief. It's the right thing to do under the circumstances, I think. But I'll miss you.
We'll still see each other all the time, Anakin said quickly. Padme's going to be on Coruscant dealing with the Senate for the foreseeable future, and you'll be here with the Council.
That's true.
Plus, once I'm no longer a Jedi, our relationship will only be half as forbidden.
Obi-Wan laughed.
You make a convincing argument, though I would appreciate it if you didn't mention that last reason in your pitch to the Council.
Anakin went to the Council a few hours later to inform them of his decision. He watched them carefully as he spoke. There were a few frowns at the admission of his and Padme's marriage, but other than that, none of them showed even the slightest sign of surprise. Right from the start, they'd always known he wasn't cut out for the lifestyle of a Jedi. That would have made him angry once, but now Anakin was only counting down the minutes until he could finally kiss his wife in public. There was a long silence after he'd finished.
"But you're the chosen one," Mace Windu finally said.
Anakin glanced around the room at the impassive Jedi Masters. When his gaze settled on Obi-Wan, Obi-Wan sent him a pulse of encouragement through the Force. He looked back to Mace and replied,
"Well, I don't want to be."
Without another word, he turned to leave, and no one moved to stop him. As soon as Padme returned from the Senate office that evening, Anakin jumped up to greet her.
"How did everything go?" she asked.
"As well as could be expected. The Council accepted my decision, and Obi-Wan understands and thinks I did the right thing. He says congratulations, by the way," Anakin added.
Padme smiled appreciatively, then gazed at him more seriously.
"Now that you're no longer a Jedi, what are you going to do?"
The question gave Anakin pause. He hadn't really thought about that yet, and wondered if perhaps he should have.
I guess I'll be a husband," he said slowly.
Then he gently moved both his flesh and metal hands to rest on the tiny curve of her belly.
"And a father."
She covered his hands with her own.
"Won't you get bored? I've hardly ever seen you sit still for 5 minutes, except when you're meditating," she said with a laugh.
Anakin chuckled as well. She did have a point.
"I've spent my whole life always doing what other people told me to do," he said a moment later, thoughtful again. "I think it'll be good for me to just be my own person for a little while."
It didn't take long before word of the hero with no fear leaving the Jedi Order spread across the HoloNet, and it was followed almost immediately by the revelation of his and Padme's years-long secret marriage, as well as her pregnancy. For several weeks, they were followed by reporters and civilians alike everywhere they went, and they both grumbled that maybe they would have been better off keeping it all a secret. But the public's attention soon moved on towards more serious matters— the trials of the Separatist leaders and the Senate scramble to reorganize following Palpatine's betrayal and subsequent death. Padme was constantly in emergency meetings, and Obi-Wan was busy with the Council, so Anakin was often left alone to pursue various new hobbies in his sudden free time. He'd been trying cooking one night when Padme came home looking tired but triumphant. "Bail Organa has been elected interim chancellor," she announced, then stopped in her tracks and sniffed the air.
"What is that? It smells delicious."
"That's dinner," said Anakin, proudly waving a hand at the table, which was barely visible under all the food he'd cooked up. "And that's great news, although I still think you would have made an excellent chancellor."
Padme laughed.
Juggling a stir-crazy husband and an upcoming baby alongside my work as a regular senator is quite enough for the moment, thank you.
I'm not stir-crazy, Anakin said indignantly.
Grinning, she raised her eyebrows and gave the dinner spread a pointed glance. So you decided to prepare a feast for a dozen people just for fun, then?
I just wanted to try out some different things and see what you liked.
And I love you for it. She kissed him on the cheek. But seriously, Annie, there's no way we'll be able to eat all this.
We could put some away for later, he suggested. Once we've tried everything, of course.
I have a better idea, Padme said, rather slyly. We could invite Obi-Wan to join us for dinner.
Anakin stared at her, startled. He, Padme, and Obi-Wan had all been in each other's company since Anakin and Obi-Wan had started their relationship, but it had only been in war-related situations when many others were also present. Anakin knew that both his lovers genuinely liked and respected each other, but the idea of the three of them sitting down to dinner, alone together, still made him a little nervous. Padme was looking at him hopefully, though, so he said, I guess so.
Great,
she replied, beaming at him, and Anakin pulled out his comlink to extend the invitation. Obi-Wan sounded surprised, but he accepted, and within half an hour, C-3PO was shuffling into the room.
Master Kenobi is here, he announced. Bring him in, please, 3PO, said Padme, and a moment later the droid returned with Obi-Wan in tow.
Anakin hurried to greet him, Padme close behind. With an uncertain glance at Padme, Obi-Wan gave Anakin a very quick hug and stepped away again. Padme rolled her eyes.
Oh, please, as if I don't know exactly what kind of things you two get up to when I'm not here.
Both men turned bright red as she snickered, but Obi-Wan obligingly went back to Anakin and gave him a long kiss.
That's better, said Padme,
and she too leaned over to kiss Anakin before turning to Obi-Wan and hugging him.
How are you? He asked her as the three of them moved to sit at the table.
Exhausted, she said with a laugh. Dealing with the Senate is trying under normal circumstances, but when you're carrying a child inside you...
Two, Obi-Wan interrupted. Anakin and Padme both turned to stare at him.
Two? Said Padme in confusion.
You're carrying twins, a boy and a girl, said Obi-Wan matter-of-factly, as if they should already have known this.
Padme gasped, her hand flying to her stomach.
How do you know? Asked Anakin numbly. Twins. You can't sense them both in there.
Really, Anakin?
Obi-Wan tisked, as if he was scolding him for failing a training exercise.
If I can't, it's because you didn't train me well enough, Master, Anakin said impishly, just as he would have in his Padawan days.
Twins,
Padme breathed, and she turned to Anakin, beaming as tears shone in her eyes.
Twins, Annie?
Anakin felt his own eyes grow damp as he pictured not one, but two children, a boy and a girl, a son and a daughter. His son and his daughter.
Twins, he repeated wonderingly, and he got up to embrace her tightly where she sat, peppering her face with kisses as they laughed and wept together.
They talked about the surprising news for most of the meal, and Obi-Wan listened good-naturedly. At one point, Padme apologized for boring him, but he only chuckled and replied that he'd had enough serious conversations in the past few weeks to last him a lifetime, and he was more than happy to listen to them talk about their as-yet-unborn children. To Anakin's delight, the atmosphere was even more relaxed than he could have hoped. It felt perfectly natural for the three of them to sit there eating and discussing baby names. For the first time, he dared to imagine what it would be like for them all to be together, for him to be with Padme and Obi-Wan at the same time instead of separately. He found he quite liked the idea. Time passed quickly, and Anakin didn't realize how late it had grown until Padme started yawning profusely. Obi-Wan noticed, too, and apologized for keeping her up. She waved away his concerns.
It's been a wonderful evening. We should do this more often.
The other two heartily agreed, and after pecking Padme on the cheek and drawing Anakin in for one last kiss, Obi-Wan departed.
I thought that went very well,
Padme noted, pleased, as Anakin accompanied her into their bedroom.
So did I, agreed Anakin. Good idea on your part.
My ideas are always good, she replied, and Anakin laughed.
Padme fell asleep only minutes after undressing and getting into bed. Anakin lay with his arms around her, skin and metal meeting just above her baby bump.
He nuzzled his face in her hair, feeling almost completely content. But he couldn't help thinking of his other lover sleeping alone in his small room at the temple, and Anakin found himself wishing that Obi-Wan was there in bed with him and Padme. As the weeks passed, Obi-Wan joined Anakin and Padme in their home more and more often, and they soon told him he could stop by whenever he wanted, instead of always checking with them in advance. After all, Anakin spent most of his time there now that he'd left the Order, so there was little chance of Obi-Wan ever arriving at an empty apartment. Padme's belly continued to grow, and at 6 months she was starting to get tired much more easily, though her sex drive was still unaffected once she'd managed to exasperatedly convince Anakin that it was perfectly safe, as she was only pregnant, not on her deathbed. Anakin would occasionally go see Obi-Wan at the temple, but it was much more common for Obi-Wan to come to him. After all, Anakin's bed was much nicer. Anakin was happier and more relaxed than he'd ever been in his life, but he still felt that something was missing. However, that was soon to change. Padme had gotten home early, and she and Anakin ate a leisurely dinner. Anakin had become quite a good cook, before retiring to the bedroom. They sat on the bed kissing lazily for a while, Anakin's hand wandering lower just often enough that Padme began growing wet, and eventually she moaned into his mouth to indicate her need. Taking the hint, Anakin stood and pulled off his tunic, then helped her remove her dress before gently pushing her to lie down, putting a pillow behind her back to prop her up slightly, as lying flat during sex had lately become uncomfortable for her. He knelt down at the edge of the bed as she drew her knees up, and gripping her thighs, he began licking her clit. She immediately began moaning. Pregnancy had made her even more sensitive than usual, and felt fire curling in her belly at the feeling of her husband's tongue on her, his fingers inside of her. Her hands fisted in the sheets as she began murmuring a string of syllables that was largely unintelligible except for the occasional, "Annie." Just when Padme thought she was about to come undone, she heard footsteps, then a gasp and a stammered, "I'm so sorry. I wasn't sure. Didn't know if you were home. I didn't mean, I'll just come back later." She felt Anakin's mouth and hands disappear, and she pushed herself up on her elbows to see what was going on, so close to orgasm that she was far more annoyed at the intrusion than she was embarrassed. The figure had turned away from them, but she could see that it was Obi-Wan. Padme glanced down at Anakin, whose expression was a mix of embarrassment and worry, then back up at Obi-Wan, who was almost out of the room again, and she found herself saying, "Stay." He froze in his tracks, and Anakin looked at her with surprise and hope. Padme clambered off the bed and strode purposely towards Obi-Wan, grabbing him and whirling him around to face her. He glanced down at her fully naked body, then immediately looked away, his face aflame. But Padme's clit was throbbing so hard that she had no room left in her mind for shame. She took Obi-Wan's face in her hands and yanked him down to kiss her. She could see why Anakin liked kissing Obi-Wan so much. His lips were thin and firm, and her senses, already so heightened from her arousal, nearly went crazy at the feeling of his beard lightly brushing against her skin. Padme pulled away and looked at him. He was staring at her in shock. "Padme?" Anakin had approached warily, and he was looking at her in confusion, but she saw that his skin was flushed and his breathing was a little uneven. Padme turned to Obi-Wan and pushed his Jedi robe off his shoulders. "Stay," she repeated. Seeming to realize that she was serious, Anakin moved closer to Obi-Wan, gently cupped his face with his hands, and kissed him as well. When they drew apart, Obi-Wan looked between Anakin and Padme, silently asking if they were really going to do this. Both gazed steadily back at him, and he finally bent down to hesitantly press his lips against Padme's once more. Padme responded with intensity, and Anakin began biting and sucking on Obi-Wan's neck, leaving marks as he went. Padme's climax built back up again, and she was soon so close that it was almost painful. She began squirming, frustrated that her swollen belly prevented her from rubbing herself against Obi-Wan. But he seemed to sense what she needed, and she felt his hand slip down to stroke her clit. Padme gasped, and a moment later she was coming, clinging to Obi-Wan's shoulders as her knees turned to jelly. She felt hands on her bare back, one warm and one cold, supporting her. Anakin must have moved behind her without her noticing. Obi-Wan's clothes then began to undo themselves, and he started protesting to Anakin that the Force was not a toy, but was distracted when Padme wedged one of her legs between his. She felt Anakin's lips graze the back of her neck as his hand reached around to tease one of her nipples, Obi-Wan sliding his own hand between her legs again, and within a few minutes, wetness began to pool between her thighs once more.
She pulled away from both men and turned to face them. Anakin's pants were still on, but other than that, they were both as naked as her, and she could see exactly how aroused they were. Padme looked at Obi-Wan and said breathlessly, "I want you to fuck Anakin while I watch." Both pairs of eyes widened, and after a moment, Obi-Wan pulled Anakin to him and began kissing him hungrily. Then Anakin stripped off his pants and eagerly climbed onto the bed, and when Obi-Wan pushed two fingers inside him, Anakin made a noise that Padme had never heard before, and she felt heat pulse low in her stomach. Padme moved to sit on the bed beside Anakin, pulling his head into her lap and stroking his sweaty hair as he whined under Obi-Wan's ministrations. She didn't see the exact moment when Obi-Wan entered him, but she knew it had happened by Anakin's choked moan as his back arched off the bed. Padme watched as Obi-Wan began thrusting inside her husband, both of them panting and grunting, and her hand tightened in Anakin's hair. She didn't think she'd ever felt more aroused in her life. Anakin started tugging insistently on her other hand, and she looked down to see him gazing up at her, eyes dark with desire. "Padme," he breathed, "ride me." Her clit throbbed again at the suggestion, and she placed a kiss on his forehead before crawling over to straddle him. She positioned herself above him and slowly sank down. Anakin moaned so loudly that it sounded almost like a wail, and Padme herself nearly sobbed at how good it felt to have him filling her. She began rocking her hips, Obi-Wan's ragged breath hot on her neck as she lowered her hands to join his on Anakin's hips. Soon Padme got her motions in time with Obi-Wan's, and Anakin let out a longer and louder moan with each movement, until he was making an almost constant flow of noise. Padme had never seen him this overwhelmed before, eyes squeezed shut, his entire face and chest flushed and sweaty, hair plastered to his forehead. He looked utterly debauched. That, combined with the sounds Obi-Wan was making in her ear, and the kisses he was placing on her collarbone, made Padme feel very overwhelmed herself. Then Anakin made a noise that was a combination of a gasp and a scream, and his hips bucked up into her, forcing himself even deeper as he spilled himself inside her. The sudden motion made Padme cry out as she felt her second orgasm of the night rip through her, pulsing around Anakin. A minute later, she felt Obi-Wan's hands tighten under her own, and he groaned loudly in her ear as he reached his own climax. They collapsed on the bed in a tangle of limbs, panting and attempting to catch their breaths. After several minutes, Anakin reached out to pull Padme close, and she wiggled backwards until her back was against his chest. She felt another hand on her side as Obi-Wan draped his arm over Anakin, and soon she dozed off in a contented sleep. Obi-Wan wasn't there when Padme awoke the next morning. She gently extricated herself from Anakin's loose grasp so as not to wake him, then threw on a nightgown and dressing gown and tiptoed out of the room. Obi-Wan was standing by the window, already back in his Jedi robes. He turned as she approached, and they smiled at each other. Padme sunk down into the couch, and Obi-Wan soon joined her. They sat in comfortable silence for a while before Obi-Wan said, "You love Anakin, and I love Anakin, but..." "But you're wondering what you and I are to each other," Padme finished, and he nodded. It was a question she'd been pondering for over a year, and the previous night had only made her wonder all the more. "After last night, I think it's safe to say we aren't just friends anymore." Obi-Wan reddened slightly, though he chuckled. "I suppose not." Padme tilted her head slightly, considering him. She recalled she'd had a bit of a crush on him when they'd first met. What 14-year-old girl, even a queen, could resist a dashing young Jedi coming to her rescue? Even now, nearly a decade and a half after he jumped off that balcony in the palace at Theed, he was as handsome as ever, something she certainly hadn't failed to notice the night before. She'd seen him from time to time over the years following their adventure on Naboo and Tatooine, once she was a senator and he sat on the Jedi Council, and even more frequently after the war began and her youthful crush had deepened into admiration and respect, a feeling she knew was mutual. She slowly reached to place a hand on his cheek and brought her lips up to his in an experimental kiss. It was gentle and soft, unlike the hunger and desperation they'd kissed with the night before, and Padme found that it was quite pleasant. She drew back after a minute, looking at him thoughtfully. Obi-Wan gave her a hesitant smile and covered her other hand, which was still resting on the sofa, with his own. Padme gave a startled gasp as she suddenly felt a jab in her stomach. "The baby's just kicked," she explained, smiling as Obi-Wan looked over at her in concern. "Or one of them did, at least." It happened again, then a third time, and she shyly asked Obi-Wan if he wanted to feel it.
He gently rested his hands on her belly, and they both waited patiently for several minutes until another kick came.
"That felt quite strong," said Obi-Wan, smiling in delight. "I imagine they'll make great warriors someday. Perhaps the Council will allow them to be trained, even though Anakin has left the Order."
Padme laughed. "Anakin's already planning out when to get them their first lightsabers. I told him I'd rather they follow in my footsteps. Politics has less chance of death or dismemberment."
"Only slightly," Obi-Wan countered with a grin.
Chuckling, Padme's thoughts turned back to their original conversation. "Last night, it felt right to have you there, to have all three of us together," she mused, and Obi-Wan nodded in agreement. "And I know Anakin would like to be with us both at the same time, instead of separately. He hasn't said anything like that to me, but I can tell he's thinking it. So maybe we could just let things happen however they happen."
After a moment's consideration, Obi-Wan nodded a second time. "Seems like a sensible plan. Or a non-plan, I suppose."
She laughed again, and a moment later Anakin appeared in the doorway, yawning, and shuffled sleepily over to join them.
"What are you two talking about?"
"The babies are kicking again," Padme told him. He beamed and moved his hands to feel them. Padme would never forget the look of awe on his face the first time he'd felt their children moving inside her a few weeks earlier. Anakin's smile widened when he felt a kick, and he leaned down to place a tender kiss on her belly. "Also," said Padme a moment later, "Obi-Wan and I decided we'd both be willing to try a relationship altogether, if you want." Anakin blinked at her in amazement, then turned to Obi-Wan for confirmation.
"We both love you, Anakin," Obi-Wan said. "And we love each other, too. Perhaps Padme and I aren't in love with each other yet, but I believe that in time we could be."
A smile slowly returned to Anakin's face, and he leaned in to kiss them both. The trio's new circumstances were a little tricky to navigate at first, but after a month or two they all settled in, and Anakin realized that this had indeed been the thing he'd felt like he was missing. Everything was perfect, except for the small problem of Obi-Wan still being a part of the Order, and therefore having to hide their relationship. Anakin had tentatively brought it up with him once, but Obi-Wan had mumbled an incoherent response and quickly changed the subject, so he didn't try to pursue it any further. Being a Jedi was Obi-Wan's whole life, and Anakin didn't want to make him choose between the Order and him and Padme. Padme was in the last stages of her pregnancy, and she had finally agreed to take a temporary leave of absence from the Senate, after much pressing from Anakin and Obi-Wan. Being nearly full term with twins wasn't exactly comfortable, and she spent most of her time resting. This also meant that she no longer took as active a part in their sex life as she had in the previous months, though she still liked watching Anakin and Obi-Wan fuck each other. And almost every night, to help smooth her tense muscles before bed, one of them would gently bring her to orgasm with his mouth while the other placed loving kisses up and down her body. There was nothing more to do but wait for the babies to arrive. Padme had wanted them to be born on Naboo, insisting that the fresh air and greenery would be better for them than the smog of Coruscant. But by the time she was able to take time off from work, the medical droids advised her against traveling such a long distance. Anakin and Obi-Wan cheered her up by clearing out a largely unused room in the apartment and decorating it as a nursery. Neither was particularly artistic, but Anakin cheated using the Force, and eventually Obi-Wan admitted that the work did go faster that way and followed suit. Padme's jaw dropped when she saw what a beautiful job they'd done. They'd painted the walls to look like the fields and lakes of Naboo. They had even painstakingly recreated the falls where Anakin and Padme had picnicked so long ago. The ceiling was dotted with hundreds of tiny stars that glowed when the room grew dark.
"Since we can't bring the twins to Naboo, we wanted to bring Naboo to the twins," Obi-Wan explained.
Padme burst into tears and embraced them both tightly. The nursery was finished just in time. Padme's contractions began one night 2 weeks later. Anakin and Obi-Wan rushed her to the medical bay and sat with her for hours, talking nonstop about nothing in particular to try to distract her from the pain. When the droids told her it was time to push, Anakin and Obi-Wan each took one of her hands in their own, and she squeezed them so tightly that her nails drew blood, though neither man said a word of protest. Padme screamed, and Anakin and Obi-Wan spoke words of encouragement and love, though Anakin wasn't sure she even heard them. The boy was born first, and the girl followed 7 minutes later, both of them wailing. Padme collapsed back against the pillows, panting and sobbing, and Anakin and Obi-Wan tenderly hugged and kissed her, their own faces also wet with tears. The droids cleaned the babies up and returned them wrapped in blankets. Anakin gazed down in awe at the tiny bundle in his arms. His daughter. Leia, he whispered, and he gasped as tiny fingers curled around his much larger one. He suddenly recalled the dream he'd had the night Padme told him she was pregnant. Luke, said Padme, exhausted and tear-stained, but beaming down at her son. They had settled on the names only a few weeks after Obi-Wan had told them they were expecting twins. Both names meant light. Luke was a traditional Tatooine name, and Leia was from Naboo. They passed the twins around until all three had gotten a chance to hold both of them, and then the droids returned to take them away for various post-birth medical procedures. Padme was transferred to another room, Anakin and Obi-Wan following her, and she fell asleep almost as soon as she got into the new, more comfortable bed. Anakin and Obi-Wan sat side by side next to her, and Anakin leaned against Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan put his arm around him and kissed the top of his head. "You're a father," he murmured. Anakin smiled up at him and said, "So are you." Obi-Wan's lips parted in surprise, and his eyes filled with tears. They hadn't yet explicitly talked about it, but Anakin knew he wanted Obi-Wan to be as much the twins' father as he himself was, and Padme had wholeheartedly agreed with him when he'd said as much to her. Lost for words, Obi-Wan just beamed at Anakin and pulled him closer. 10 minutes later, they too were asleep. The first few weeks of parenthood passed in a sleepless haze. It seemed to Anakin that just when one twin would finally drop off to sleep, the other would wake up and start crying, which would then set the first one off again. Padme started doing a little work from home after the first 2 months, and after an additional 3, she returned to the Senate. Occasionally, Anakin would bring Luke and Leia to the Senate building to meet her after work, and he'd swell with pride as the other senators filed out of the Senate chamber and cooed over the babies until Padme approached, kissed all 3 of them, took one twin in her arms, and accompanied Anakin home. Obi-Wan spent as much time at home as it was possible to do while also avoiding making the council suspicious. For the first time, he began to talk seriously of leaving the Order like Anakin had done. "I'm fine staying home with them while you and Padme work," Anakin assured him one day as the 3 of them sat on the floor of the nursery with the twins, who were just shy of 7 months old. Leia had begun crawling a few weeks previously, and she was scooting happily around the room as Luke sat and played with blocks. "I know," replied Obi-Wan, smiling as Leia babbled something incoherent to her brother. "That's not the problem. I don't want to miss out on anything. I wasn't here when Leia started crawling." "That's not a big deal," Padme said soothingly. She and Anakin had both been at home at the time and had immediately calmed Obi-Wan in excitement with the news. "But next it will be their first words and their first steps, and I won't be there," Obi-Wan replied. "I'm happiest when I'm here with all of you. Whenever I'm at the temple, I'm counting down the seconds until I can come back and be with my family." Anakin and Padme both smiled at his words and simultaneously pecked him on either cheek. Just then, Luke looked directly at Obi-Wan and said, "Dada." The 3 parents gasped, and a moment later, Luke had been swept up in Padme's arms as she kissed his forehead and exclaimed, "Luke, your first word! Luke, where's Dada?" But Luke clearly felt he'd done enough for one day, and he just giggled and grabbed at her hair. Once the commotion had died down, they settled back down on the floor, Padme holding Luke in her lap as he reached for a stuffed animal. "Dada," Obi-Wan murmured wonderingly, eyes damp. He took a deep breath and looked up at Anakin and Padme. "I'm going to do it. I'm going to leave the Order." "Stop that," he added sternly, for Leia had crawled over to them and was attempting to pull the stuffed animal out of the hands of a very indignant Luke. Anakin grabbed a different stuffed animal and held it out to Leia to distract her. She looked suspiciously at it for a moment, then took it from him, a smile returning to her face. "Are you sure?" Anakin asked Obi-Wan, just as Padme had once asked him. Obi-Wan nodded decisively. "I don't belong there anymore. The Order doesn't need me as much as my family does. My place is here with you." "I wonder how the Council will react to another Jedi leaving because of Padme," said Anakin, grinning, and they all laughed. Anakin was sorely tempted to join Obi-Wan the next day, but he wasn't sure he'd be welcomed back at the temple, so he remained with Luke and Leia.
Padme got home early. The twins were napping, and she and Anakin were enjoying a rare moment of peace and quiet when they heard the door open. They immediately hurried over as Obi-Wan entered.
"What did they say?" asked Anakin.
"Well, they definitely had more of a reaction than when you did it," Obi-Wan replied, eyes twinkling. "They were quite appalled when I informed them I'd spent half the war sleeping with you, and even more so when they learned I was now regularly sleeping with both of you and have adopted your children as my own."
Anakin and Padme joined in his laughter, and Padme then asked, "How are you feeling?"
"A bit strange," admitted Obi-Wan. "The Order has been my life since I was Luke and Leia's age, but it feels good to get all those secrets off my chest. I'm glad to finally be able to stop lying."
Anakin nodded. He knew the feeling. He exchanged a glance with Padme, who smiled encouragingly at him, and then he turned back to Obi-Wan and took his hand.
"Obi-Wan, we were talking while you were gone, and we were thinking, now that you're not a Jedi anymore, you can have attachments."
Padme grabbed Obi-Wan's other hand.
"Obi-Wan," she said, "will you marry us?"
Obi-Wan inhaled sharply and looked from one of them to the other.
"I... really?"
"Of course," Anakin said, chuckling. "We love you. You're Luke and Leia's father, and we want you to be our husband." Obi-Wan looked amazed for another moment, and then a smile spread across his face as his eyes filled with tears.
"Yes," he said. "Yes, I'll marry you. I love you both."
They drew him in, and hugs and kisses and tears and laughs were exchanged all around. But the moment was cut short at the sound of a wail coming from the nursery.
"Looks like someone's awake," Anakin laughed, and the three of them moved to attend to their children.
The wedding of Anakin Skywalker, Padme Amidala, and Obi-Wan Kenobi was the galactic event of the year, much to their chagrin. Marriages between three were by no means unheard of. The galaxy was a big place, after all, but it was the fact that these specific three were so well known that made it a big to-do. The hero with no fear, the great negotiator, and the senator and former queen of Naboo were all household names thanks to the war, not to mention the scandal that had ensued after Anakin left the Order, a scandal which was revived now that Obi-Wan had also left. Gossip raged about when exactly Obi-Wan had gotten involved with the other two. Was it recent, or had he been with them the whole time? But no one knew the whole truth except for the three of them, and the Jedi Council, and they weren't telling. The ceremony took place on Coruscant, as most of the guests lived there, though Padme's family and friends traveled in from Naboo. Anakin and Obi-Wan invited all the Jedi, and to their surprise, they actually accepted, even Yoda and Windu, who had been the two most upset over Obi-Wan's departure. In fact, Aayla Secura told Anakin and Obi-Wan in a confidential whisper that the Council was working on reviewing the code, particularly the section about attachments. Hope bloomed in Anakin's chest. He wouldn't trade his family for the galaxy, but he did sometimes miss being a Jedi, and he knew Obi-Wan felt the same. Luke and Leia were nearly a year and a half old when the wedding actually took place, as it had taken a while to plan, and Chancellor Organa happily volunteered to keep an eye on them during the ceremony. It was an intimate affair, though still quite a step up from Anakin and Padme's first wedding on Naboo. But the celebration afterwards was filled with friends and family congratulating the newlyweds and wishing them well. The family of five left for Naboo as soon as it was all over, and the Nabarys brought the twins to stay with them for a few days as Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Padme went to Varrakeno for some much-needed time to themselves. They made love that night in the same bed where Anakin and Padme had first consummated their marriage almost 5 years earlier. Afterwards, they lay entwined together as they drifted off to sleep. Perhaps, in another universe, they would have been ripped forever from each other and from their children. But in this universe, there was peace. And in this universe, the Amidala Skywalker, Kenobi family, lived happily ever after. The end.